This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 416, brought to you by iFanboy listeners just like you.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ the Savior was born on Christmas Day.
Hello, welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 416. It's the last show of the year. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and joining me as always is Josh Flanagan.
Sort of.
And Paul Montgomery.
Yes.
We are iFanboy. We like comics. We read comics every week. We read a bunch of comics. One of us picks the best comic they read. We call that the pick of the week. We talk about that on the show, along with other books of the week, other topics of interest. And a quick reminder and a warning, this is a review show, and it's the last one of the year, so this is the last chance you get to pause the show and come back. Don't get spoiled until 2015. Oh, shit. 14. Oh, my God. Wow. I don't know how that happened.
It's all downhill.
I don't need the years to come any faster.
Remember when you
really
were a kid
and
you used to do the math? You'd be like, well, when I'm this old, it'll be this year. And this, and then, anyway. Yeah, I had the pick.
Josh had the pick.
Yeah. You know, this was, I have a bit of a hard time picking something this week. There were a lot of comics. And several of them were very good.
It was a sneaky big week.
It was.
I thought I had a smallish week, and then I actually looked at him, and I was like, "Oh, this is gonna take a while."
It was a good chunk of. I read a bunch of Image books. I read a bunch of Marvel books. I read, you know, a few others. I ultimately went with this, and I'm starting to get.
Which is what?
Thunderbolts number 19. Did I not say that? Well, whatever.
I don't know. I've already checked out.
Okay.
It's like senioritis over here.
Yeah. Because this is tough.
This is the book about the red people.
Yeah, it's all gamma all the time. I don't think that we've made this pick of the week, although we've talked about it a few times. This is one of those books that had a slow build, like where I was like, oh, have you read this? It's pretty good. And then it comes back later and go, it's really pretty good. And then Connor just goes, yeah, that was good. And then it leads up to pick a week. I think we've done that process before.
Yeah, I think so.
After basically the setup previously was that there's the Thunderbolts, which is on paper, I mean, it was a ridiculous team. It's Red Hulk, Punisher, Venom, Red Leader, Deadpool, Elektra, and whoever the hell Mercy is. And
how do you think they convinced the leader to change his name to Red Leader?
I assume.
Also, shouldn't he be leading the X-Wing squadron?
I assume it has something to do with Wedge Antilles, in which case he agreed.
Yeah, I figured it was just like a Star Wars homage. Like, I thought that's what was happening.
And anyway. And Charles Soule took this book over from, was it Daniel Way before? Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
And basically it's very whimsical.
It's silly.
It is. And I think it's so interesting if you look at it in contrast to all the other books that Soule's doing. Like another book that came out this week, you know, was Superman, Wonder Woman, which we'll talk about. It, like, literally, you wouldn't think they were the same people. I'm not even, you know,
the tone's totally different.
Completely different. So anyway, the last sort of story arc was that all of the Thunderbolts were going to each help the other Thunderbolts do their whatever their mission is. So they all help Punisher take down.
They draw their names out of a hat.
Yeah, a mob boss.
And then, all of the mob bosses.
Yeah. And then what this one was is they're driving away after they kill all of the mafia. And they're in a van. And I
that's why he goes to wherever he's going in his next series. He's leaving New York because there's no mafia left.
Right. I assume Chicago, 1920. Anyway, and they're in the van. The first thing you see is Deadpool, and you go, "All right." They had him shoot him in. He asked them to shoot him in the head so he didn't have to sit through the boring car ride, which is brilliant.
That's
which
great.
Is really very funny. And then you're basically in Red Leader's head as he plays through this plan to assassinate and kill all of the people and get out of the situation and he's how he's all worked it flawlessly and it's perfect. And then there's one little hint at the beginning where he's like, "Hey, my brain seemed to be dripping out of my nose."
That's not good.
And it's just this increasingly cool, like, the, you know, best laid plans. And then there's a twist at the end where he's basically he played it out, and then all of a sudden he realizes, wait, my brains are dripping out of my head, and he hasn't actually done any of these things yet, and he starts to doubt himself completely.
Like, it's a John Cusack movie.
Yeah, basically. he loses
psychological thriller.
All of his stones on it, and I didn't see that coming at all. I thought, well, that's cool that he did all that. They'll figure some way out of it. I really love the switch of his personality. I thought that was. I don't know anything about this character other than
he was a Hulk villain. You know,
I knew that much, but like that's almost over the as world. Much as I knew.
Sizable
I,
head.
I don't know why he's this now.
He has like a 25 head.
Yeah, but there's a DC character's got the same kind of head, isn't there?
Probably.
I forget, but like I get them mixed up.
I have a couple of observations about this issue. One, it's a really wide van.
One of my favorite things. It is.
It's a really wide van.
One of my favorite things about this is that they keep making more jokes about the utilitarian nature of the Punisher's van.
Right.
It doesn't have anything. It doesn't have
air conditioning. He said this isn't a minivan. And General Ross is like, it's not. Because he's a military man. He doesn't know what a civilian vehicle is like.
He got to put in one of those runaway truck turnoffs, which I've seen a lot of times and I always find them fascinating. And I was really impressed that they had to run off the van at the moment that they were going by the one runaway truck runoff, which I've only seen like on two roads ever.
I've seen them in the Rockies. They're terrifying.
Right. And I thought, boy, those you really have to be in the right place for that. And they were. So I liked him pulling that in. I liked the reversal. I was super impressed by it. I was like, this was the one where, like, I think we've seen him getting to be a better comic book writer. Through this last year as he's really taken over all of the books. And this was one for me that I was like, oh, I feel like this is a turning point. Or at least a next level achieved sort of thing. I was really impressed by it because it was funny and clever. And you know, at the same time, it also, like, it looked great. The artist Gabriel Hernandez-Walta, I don't think it's not the same guy who was on it before, but it's still got that sort of strange abstract,
very squat bodies.
And I'm totally, I look at the way that he draws. Yeah, it's great. Look
at Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he draws him two different ways. He draws him as he is, and then he draws him as a Red Leader.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the visual indicator that we're in his head, is that suddenly people get more squat.
See, I don't think
not overly squat where you know right away. Like, it's not like they're chibis or whatever, but it's like, it's just enough difference in their appearance that's how you would know if you were.
Yeah, I don't think I caught that just because
I didn't catch it either.
I didn't
catch it
until the art. And if you look,
I did.
Well, you're so smart.
You are. No, I'm just saying. I kind of got the idea that this was he was working it out in his head and thinking about what he was going to do, just because it was all internal monologue. And then the artistic cue of having, especially General Ross, like all bent over and almost a caricature of himself. I was like, oh, that's like how Red Leader perceives him. So maybe I'm onto something here. And then it turned out to be kind of what I thought it was going to be. But it kept me engaged the entire way through. So even
Yeah.
Good. How is gamma radiation not harmful?
I believe it is.
Well, he was dispersed to get the van. He's like, well, it's not going to hurt anybody. There's a point where he decides to disperse it from his body.
Well, he's thinking of...
And it says not enough to do any real damage. Well, I mean, obviously it's in his head, but he says not enough to do any real damage. Most of them won't even notice. I feel like any kind of radiation... Well, not any kind.
No, we're constantly surrounded by all kinds
of... But I mean, like, gamma radiation being in sent out in waves like that?
It's probably he has bad. To do, like, some kind of gamma, like, what's it, like, Kegels? So that he can like secrete it at the no, I mean, but like at the right amount, so that it's not too much and he doesn't kill everybody all right away. But wouldn't he just want to anyway? Just kill everybody in the van?
Be an easy way to
just
do
radiate
it
entirely. Just
yeah, this is fun. I think I mean I caught up on the last issue was the one I read when it came out. I'd caught up with 7 in a row, and it's fun. It's fun in that same way that Wolverine the X-Men is fun, and that like Hawkeye is fun, and it's not like irreverent like the old Justice League book. It's fun, which is that we talked about that I think a year or two ago when Marvel seems to start introducing these kind of books. That's a lighter toned superhero book, but it's not.
It's the only way that I can stomach most of these characters. Like
and it's especially this particular group of characters.
Yeah, exactly. That, and it also though it is very easy to go too far the other way. And
right, you would expect when this was I think when this was announced, I didn't even pay much attention to it because of the character lineup. But you know, you expected a really teeth gnashing, serious book with you know the Punisher and Elektra and you know Thunderbolt Ross. But you've got the opposite of that. I mean, the cover's great. You know, it's the cover tells you all you need to know. The van's broken down. Elektra and Punisher are arguing, holding the map, and Deadpool's flying a kite. I mean, this is, and then the Hulk's wearing that silly hat, the bad hat, hairy hat. But
did you see the preview for next month? Is the Ghost Rider's coming and joining the group?
Well, that's the logical extension of this team, I think. Is
yeah.
What other like '90s popular, you know, characters can you add to this group?
Boy, that is a great cover.
It really is a great cover.
I also really the lighting and the way that the drawing works on the page where you come back to Red Leader's face. You know,
yes.
When you come back to him in the van, he's holding up the lighter, and his nose is dripping. It's really great use of color and shade and light, and just the expression on his face. It tells you everything. You don't have to read any of that if you didn't want to.
Good stuff.
Great visual cue. Yeah, it was you know it was sort of a sleeper in a way where I kind of was like, oh, all right, these have been fun. I'll keep reading and I got through it and I was like, you know, that's really impressive.
I totally see why you would pick it as pick of the week. It's kind of cool just to do like a back of a van story.
Yeah,
I love that it was like all contained. I still have no idea who Mercy is, but I think all the other characters was you know great.
If you consider Thunderbolt Ross to be sort of the father figure of the team, then this was a week full of complicated father figure relationships. And
that was a segue.
Yes, this week, and the most complicated and most awful might have been in Lazarus number 5.
This was probably, you know, my runner up.
Greg Rucka, Michael Lark with Brian Lovell on art, and Mr. Carlisle. We get a little flashback to Forever's childhood, which is training to be the Lazarus.
No hugs.
And
no hugging.
He is not a good dad.
Which you could probably have surmised up to now, but
I would not surprise. I'm just saying, you know, the little girl wanted to give her daddy a hug, and he was not having it.
I don't believe that he's really. Do we know how? Like she's. I haven't read all the back matter, but like she's more like an experiment. Is she?
She's like a clone. She's a genetic clone.
So she's related in that.
She's considered to be part of the family, okay. But she's also their clone, a protector assassin part. The saddest thing about this issue was that there was no more historical bit in the back.
Yeah. I found that
really bummed about that.
I found that bit to be exceedingly sad.
And I did too, but I was kind of captivating. So
yeah, I did too.
I was so happy for the net. I was ooh, more and more history, and then I got back to the back, and it was like a character profile and letters, and that's fine. But I was just very sad that there was no history, which I've been loving.
I really liked the sequence on the river on the Mississippi.
Yes,
that was a great sort of view of the world. I thought it was a really interesting the way that she dealt with the problem.
Right.
You know, which is a very, I'm sure that's the kind of thing that's happened a lot of times, you know, in terms of sort of world diplomacy. Like, well, if you fire back, then it all goes to hell.
Right.
You know, and those kind of creative solutions. I always think of like the, what's the movie? Well, from the Bay of Pigs, but in the movie with
300.
No.
Batman Returns.
13 days.
13 days.
You know, when
right.
He's flying the plane right. And he's like.
Chronos is playing that gets yeah. Bird strikes.
With Antonio Banderas?
No.
No.
Antonio Banderas as John F. Kennedy.
this issue expanded the world. expanded the world a little bit. We got to see not only Forever as a child, and not only we got to see this DMZ line between the two family, the Mississippi River delineating the different territories, but we also got to see some of the waste. I guess those are the waste. Are they the serfs?
The serfs. There's the family, and then the serfs and the wastes.
We got to see this family who works. I guess they're like. Yeah, I guess it would be the serfs because they would have been the serfs in the old days. They work the fields.
Yeah, yeah.
Family. So they got to see them dealing with a flood situation. So it wasn't really necessarily all tied to a main plot, which is fine. It was world building and getting to see. Okay, so now you have an understanding of how some of these people in the world live.
I bet it gets.
Probably, but you also doesn't have to necessarily.
Right.
Just gives you an idea of, you know, you hear about the serfs and the waste in the beginning, but you don't actually know what that means so much. We've met a few of them, but they've been working in the compounds. And then we had the idea that they're going to lift some waste up to serf level. So there was a sort of gathering in Denver. Oh, no, those South Central Los Angeles for that to go to Denver to be lifted up to the.
Right, right.
This was another good issue. I mean, this is, you know, it's a long game comic. Right, so it's already in that level of Captain America. That's the gold standard of Ed Brubaker Captain America, where it's going to have to really blow you away, probably to be the pick. But
it was almost pick.
No, I can see that totally.
But in the same way that it's
one of the best books I read this week.
Yeah,
really good stuff. Astro City number 7.
This could have come out in 99.
This was classic Astro City. But one thing that really interested me was the letters page. Did you either of you read that?
No.
He prints one letter a month, and in this one, it was really interesting because the guy who wrote in said he doesn't want to see any more of the regular everyday characters, the background characters. He just wants to, you know, get to know the superheroes. And it was like, what book are you reading? Because this book has always been about the background characters. But
I've read like 5 issues of Astro City total from the entire run, and I know that that's missing the point. Like.
Yeah, that's basically what Kurt Busiek said, but in a much longer set. I love this issue. This is basically the Wonder Woman character and a bunch of villains frame her because the world doesn't necessarily trust her to begin with, and they get captured and they say they've been working for Wing Victory, and she's a criminal mastermind. And so then, what I liked about it was it examined the sort of media storm around it and how, you know, in this day and age, the media would quickly turn on her because that would get ratings and that would get clicks and that would get all these things, you know.
I also liked how it like the plot against her was very like Silver Age DC.
Right.
I mean it was clearly don't worry, we're fooling them now. Like stop that. No one's falling for that. And then finally I was totally I guess surprised, but I was also excited by the reveal of the character at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That the confessor's going to show up, and then I just looked at the cover, and I was like, "Oh yeah, he's right on the cover." I guess really.
It's funny how little I look at covers in these days anymore. Now that I don't have the physical copies. Yeah, it's. I mean, this book continues to fire at all cylinders. This is what the 7th issue, and you're right. I mean, this is like right back in the world.
This one specifically really feels like it could have been part of the first or second run.
Yeah. Cool. But I like that. I like the examining. You know. What would happen in this world where the media doesn't trust one of the heroes? Really good. Now, did either one of you read Justice League 3000, number one?
I think I did.
that was a question more for Paul. So if you recall,
judge me.
This comic was the one that was announced as the reteaming of the classic Justice League team of Giffen, DeMatteis, and Kevin Maguire. And
right.
Then Kevin Maguire was unceremoniously dumped from the book, replaced by Howard Porter, the artist on the classic Justice League run with Grant Morrison. And then there was some rumors this was going to be like a stealth Legion of Superheroes book, which doesn't seem to be the case. But I don't know what to make of this book, Paul.
I don't know either. I mean, artistically, it's sort of like, well, you're losing Kevin Maguire, and I, Howard Porter, need to do something to make up for that, sort of, and by, while still being Howard Porter. And everybody's got the crazy eyes.
See, I've always been a big fan of Howard Porter's. I know he's may not be the best technical draftsman, but I love the crazy energy that his pages have always had.
I like his layouts a lot.
Yeah, and I mean,
no, I think it looks awesome. Like, when you zero in on the faces, though,
yeah.
Everybody looks like a lunatic. They look like a dog hanging their head out of a car with their tongue lolling out. Like that's what
I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe he had a really bad hand injury, and that's why his art.
He did. Yeah,
it's slightly different than it used to be, but I liked the art. To me, it was really difficult for me to follow a lot of what was going on, especially in the beginning. And they drop you in the middle of it, which is good, but it was also like I didn't have any sort of context for the world. But I did like the reveal that. You know, this Justice League isn't other people that just using the mantles of these characters, and this Justice League isn't Descendants. This is they try to clone the original Justice League members, you know, from the you know in the year 3000, and this is what they've got, and they are the people without the upbringing. So there's Superman without the influence of the Kents, and there's Bruce Wayne without the guilt of the parents being dead, and a really vicious Wonder Woman. It was very – I liked that aspect of it, sort of examining the characters as, well, we can just clone them. Well, you don't actually – doesn't mean you get a replication of those people. You get a version of their physical being, but it's not them anymore. And I thought that part was interesting, but I didn't know what to make of the book as a whole yet.
Yeah, I need a little bit more, but like kind of the thing you're talking about is sort of – I don't know. In a way, it's kind of – how the publisher has felt for a while now that it's like what are the characters like
with meta commentary
special. Yeah.
One thing that they're apparently going to explain is why Barry Allen looks exactly like Wally West, including having red hair. But I thought, oh wow, this is that, and I had forgotten about this. I remember reading about it at the time, but I thought this is how they're bringing Wally back. But
who's Wally West again?
Some dude. He was Kid Flash in the 60s.
I'm just hoping.
Don't send letters.
Wally West kids.
No, great. Never.
Wonderful.
But I mean, I'm gonna read the next one because I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I want to see.
Wonder Twins in here.
That's the joke.
Oh.
Is that the one?
Yeah, I want to see what happens. I want to see what happens when these dogs catch the cars that they're chasing.
Right. It's not vaudeville, Josh. It's not a silly book.
No.
No, the tone's not like that old.
It'd be really interesting to see what that would have looked like.
With Maguire done it, or just
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, is the idea that he was doing it too light and they wanted to do something more?
I don't know. They never said why.
More grimacy, because I that's what I feel like what may have happened. And that's total speculation. But
I mean, my speculation would be that the original tone was closer to what they're known for, and then they changed it because it wasn't 90s enough for the new DCU.
So then there's a grimace on everyone. And the thing is, Paul's absolutely right. Everyone is got an angry face. Every single page, every panel. But besides that, like I think the art looks great.
I think it does too, but I like that the title page and you see Wonder Woman swinging the lasso, or like maybe it's mid punch. And her face, it's just like it's kind of like, you know, the unfortunate shots of like a boxer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, the mouth is kind of like roller coastery, you know, and it's interesting, but it's like every panel.
There's hands grabbing her around the waist too, which is kind of cool.
It's interesting. I like the character study idea of it. Is what do you get when you clone the greatest heroes of all time, but you don't, you know, they're just coming out of a tube.
So this book is we don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
They look like, so really, the genes don't matter. It has nothing to do with who the people are. They'll be assholes if you're raised to be an asshole.
They're not all assholes. Superman is. Batman isn't. They also have some sort of weird memory. I guess they've been uploaded with whatever was on record because they think they know each other and I think they're friends, but they're not really.
Interesting.
It is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I want to see where it goes. I mean, I am sort of tired of grimacing. Asshole Superman.
speaking of kind of interesting, I decided to read Marvel Knights Hulk #1, written by our pal Joe Keating, with art by Peter Kowalski, who does sex.
He does sex. He does the sex.
He doesn't sound like a.
He does the sex with you.
A Russian translation of English. He does sex. He does the book Sex, a book that I'm very impressed by, artistically, and I liked this, but I don't know entirely what to make of it. Which I guess is the same thing you just said about.
Well, it's Hulk in France.
Oui, oui.
Okay,
Keating loves France.
Joe loves France. That's what I got out of this.
Keating loves France.
Yeah. There was a lot of French in it.
I did an interview with him on this, and it's sort of like it's they're going to do a lot of stuff with like French New Wave, mm-hmm. and I think we're going to see more of that as it goes along.
One thing comics fans are Marvel fans specifically are clamoring for is the Nouvelle Vague. That's I think that's that's really getting ahead of a trend there. But at the same time, like, I found it very interesting because I don't know what's going on.
What was the premise of it?
The Hulk is in France.
He's not. Or it doesn't seem to be. A woman finds, sees a banner, face down, shot in the river.
He's in the Seine.
Yeah, although it doesn't seem to be very deep. That's what was throwing me off when I was saying it.
He's on the banks of the Seine. Yeah.
She jumps off the train, or no, that's different. Anyway, she rescues him, and he doesn't really know who he is, but he's like, I have a feeling that there's something you won't like about me, but I don't know what it is. And then he starts being chased by Matrix agents who inject themselves and then become gigantic super Hulks, but he doesn't ever turn into the Hulk. But there's a bunch of situations where like at one point he's in a music club and there are people playing, it's a crowded bar, and I'm just looking at all the people and I go, that'd be a really bad time to turn into the Hulk, and he doesn't, you know, like, and so it's like that kind of suspense is going on all the time. And then later, like, they end up on that he goes on the train, he goes on the metro, and that's a really bad time to turn into
that's
Hulk.
A bad place for
there is Hulk intervention there, but they're gigantic. Like, they keep getting bigger, and then there's a mysterious woman with a white shock of hair, and they're trying to kill Banner, but Banner never turns into the Hulk through the whole thing, and it's really interesting.
Can you say that all again in French?
Nope.
I think it's about impotence.
No.
You think it's about impotence?
Like, I think it's at impotence and baguettes, I think.
So this will be like Banner gets his groove back, and it will be in the form of baguette?
I think so.
I guess they're delicious.
Oh, baguette.
A couple euros for
it. No, I think it's like there's like a lot of like culture shock and stuff. It's you know, an American lost in another country, and we'll see as it progresses. Maybe the Hulk is some kind of metaphor about anxiety about. Yeah. You know.
Well, what I liked about it was that. A lot of times you will see the print, this is a new take on so-and-so, and it usually isn't.
Well, this is a new take on French New Wave.
Yeah, but this is really like, I don't know what this is or what this is supposed to be. So in that way, it feels like a very unusual Hulk story, which I find interesting. I thought it was very well drawn. I thought, we see a lot.
How much sex is there in it?
Not enough.
I feel like the club would be a good part. Good scene for a bathroom blowjob scene.
There's a woman with a shock of white in her hair. Just isn't doesn't the one in the Sex have that?
Such a good book.
It is,
and it doesn't look quite like Sex. It looks
no. It's definitely it's less somber. What's funny is that the first bit of it kind of is.
Are you doing it wrong? Is it somber when you're doing it?
Kind of. It's funny because all the sort of Bruce and the French lady talking. Sort of look like that, but then when he does the action scenes, like he does the hell out of two giant Hulks destroying a train. Like I was impressed.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen that in Sex. It's really difficult to talk about the book.
I'm punchy. I'll be honest. I'm a little punchy.
Yeah. Are you?
It's a long day.
Are you? Yeah.
So Josh, when people hear this show, it's going to be less than a week. Well, mere days till Christmas.
First of all, I don't know why you don't have Amazon Prime, because if you do, then you can start all of your shopping on the 20th and you're done. I realize that that's impersonal, but have you been to a mall lately? No. go to ifanboy.com/Amazon, and you can use that link to buy all the stuff that you're going to invariably buy either for other people before Christmas or for yourself after.
All the stuff you didn't get. It,
Ron Boxing Day. famously, December 26th. Buy some shit. Yeah, so go do that. It doesn't cost you anything. It just benefits us. And more importantly, there are lots of other podcasts and websites and things that have their own Amazon links. Don't use those.
Not the Around Comics one.
I have friends. My friends who do the Star Wars Minute. They have one. I'm telling you right now, they don't need the money. We have a much bigger audience.
Well, where is Josh going with this?
I'm saying come to use our link and then and bookmark that as your thing and get through the holidays and so on and so forth. What's the URL for
ifanboy.com/registration?
Yeah, I use an old template here. ifanboy.com/registration is where you can go to sign up for a membership if you want to more directly support the podcast. And doing that, you can sign up for a $3 a month or $30 a year.
Right. Or you can donate like whatever amount, 30 grand.
You could
40
donate,
grand.
Let's make it even 50, I think.
50 grand?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the right way.
I'd recommend people go out and buy the Zatoichi Criterion Collection set on Blu-ray.
I really would rather have 50 grand cash.
25 movies.
I don't think you understand the tax implications of that. Okay. I've purchased at least 3 copies of The Fifth Beatle this year for people through our Amazon link.
Nice.
Maybe 4.
That being the case, though, but we still do rely on your contributions and to keep the show going. There are costs. I know they say in this bold new internet world there are no costs, but that's BS.
Those people are lying to you.
Yeah.
Also, cocaine not cheap.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you for all the people who did that.
Yes, everyone who did it in 2013. Thank you very much. We couldn't do the show without you, and you're our favorite people. You beautiful people, you. Superior Foes of Spider-Man 6.
Superior Entertainment.
Ooh.
This is a fun book. This is really entertaining. And it has crying Victor Von Doom.
The last issue was the pick of the week, right? 5?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
He's getting more silly, I think.
He's getting really silly.
The book's getting, and I'm cool with that.
And like the silliest jokes in the book are the ones that I really latch onto, like the ones that I shouldn't be laughing at. Like Mach 5 trying to make a cool exit out of a room, and his wings don't retract, so he can't fit out the narrow window, and it's like 2 or 3 panels of him trying to get through the window, and he just can't.
Well, the good setup though is the page turn into that, where he's trying to dramatically say the thing as he flies away. So he's like, and when you do, you'll learn. And then there's a whole page of him not getting through the window, and it's paced. I mean, Lieber's very good at this, this sort of visual comedy in comic book form. And if you look on that page specifically, there's those 3 very similar medium panels of him trying to get through there. Chunk, and then this skrik, 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 he's trying to wiggle his way through, and then that 4th panel is he just backs way the hell out, and you get a wide shot, and all the, you know, it's just the figures against white, and it's embarrassing. It's really nicely done. That's fun stuff, and it's only like one little bit.
It's one little bit. This issue is kind of all over the place. I mean, there's stuff with Boomerang thinks that maybe there's a guy out there who is pretending to be him. And it's, you know, it's like, you know, it's a, you know, it's a clone, or it's an old guy or a black guy or something is has a boomerang mask just like I do, and I can be the Hannibal Lecter of people with boomerangs on their faces. Like, I'll help you track him down, because of course Mach 5 is his parole officer, which is another hilarious idea. But again, this is about a painting of Victor. It all centers around this painting of Victor Von Doom that shows his actual face. And it keeps, you know, it's continually covered up by something, sort of a slapstick kind of style throughout the issue. And while it was being painted, apparently Doom was thinking about the fact that because he's Doom, he can't call his mom. He wishes that he could just pick up a phone and call her, but because he's Doom, you just can't do that. So he shed a single tear, and that happened to be when the artist was painting his face, and he painted in that tear.
Connor, do you read this?
No.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you a line from this book, and I'm gonna see if you can resist reading it after I tell you.
Well, I've already.
Let me read you the line, please.
Okay, go ahead.
Quote: I want you to draw Doom like one of your French girls. That's a line in this book.
It's good.
It's very good.
I'm going to download the issues when we're done here. Yeah,
exactly.
I
know what Daddy wants.
Now, we at iFanboy.com, we cannot throw any URL stones, but ClarkCatRopolis.com still remains the worst URL that ever existed.
Worst when you say it out loud, isn't it?
Yes. That's why, because I tried to say it out loud. It's ClarkCatRopolis.com. Really bad. Also,
this is Superman Wonder Woman number 3.
Bad idea to tie it right to your names. Because what happens if Clark quits? Anyway, we talked about this book before, and we also talked about their relationship, the Wonder Woman Superman relationship before, and I think they're finally made. And this is also a Charles Soule book we mentioned earlier, written, drawn by Tony Daniel. I think they're maybe going to get to an interesting place with this couple. They haven't. I think we mentioned last time how my problem isn't the concept of them together; it is the execution of them together. Which is, you know, indicative of the entire New 52. But I think at the end of this issue, we see that their relationship has leaked out to the press, and suddenly Superman hears all these things that are all the reactions all over the world to it. And I think finally we might get to an interesting aspect of their relationship, because it is kind of scary to have them be together if you're like a regular person.
Yeah,
I mean there's a romantic side where, of course, you know, the quarterback and the head cheerleader, but the other side is they're the two most powerful people on the planet. What happens when they're a couple?
I there were really interesting things about this book, this mm-hmm. issue. I thought the first page, it's actually just one page of Bruce talking Clark down.
Yeah.
More than a page, but I don't think that it would necessarily be a thing that I would usually say would actually happen. But just staging it and watching them talk through it, I think, is an interesting concept, and so it was interesting to go. It was fun to go through. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, and I don't know where else you would do that. On the other side of that, I want to say, I think this is really nice work from Tony Daniel. And
it's
really nice looking.
Yeah.
Like, he held back. I think he gave it a little more of a rough edge. There's less. I don't know, like lines.
He's good when he's given the time to do his work. I mean, I think the problem in the past was he was writing and drawing Detective.
I think it's not as overwrought. Like, he pulled back a little bit and let it loosen up some.
Mm-hmm.
Brought in, like, you know, a little bit of Manipole to it or something like that. And it's less, it looks less like a Jim Lee book.
I thought the pages, the sequence where Zod is trying to fly and there's the condor. Really nice, because it's a really stark background. He's in the desert and sort of gray skies and stuff. And it's less busy.
I'm really just noticing that now, looking through it. But like as I went through it, like it was fine storytelling and everything. But look at it now, like he's pulled back a bit, I think, and, mm-hmm. and let it breathe a little. And I think it worked very nicely. So
it's also a bit of a brighter book than you're probably used to him drawing.
Yeah, that too.
But I think it's interesting. I think there's certainly places they could go with it. Whether or not they will mm-hmm. is the question, but I had fun with it.
Yeah. It's a little navel-gazy, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. Now, Uncanny X-Men 39, is that right? I almost didn't buy this because it had a giant INH number attached to the number, and it's stupid, but...
And you would have missed Ladies' Night.
Well, that's the thing. I was looking for, I didn't realize that it was a Ladies' Night issue. I thought it was sort of one of those special ones, you know, where it's sort of the tie-in and the next issue would be the return to the story. But this is just the next issue of the book.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing I went back and did read it. And it was Ladies' Night, and I enjoyed it. I mean, of course, Ladies' Night got interrupted by the story that had to happen with the Inhumans. But up until then, I was really enjoying it. Because I think they've got a really interesting dynamic of female characters in this book who don't necessarily all get along. But they're all very, they all could get along if they got over their posturing about not getting along. And
they definitely have sort of a Mean Girls thing going with the Cuckoos and Young Jean.
But then there's that one Cuckoo who's sort of cracking. She dyed her hair brunette and she's.
I like that idea a lot, that she wants to differentiate herself and the other ones are like, what are you doing?
And you've got the wide-eyed Australian who's new to the whole scene, and then you've got Jean Grey who's a whole mess of problems, and Kitty. I mean, I think there's a really interesting dynamic of characters here, So I really
like
had fun with
two
it.
Is that they go and they're going to invite Kitty along. And, you know, before this year, it wasn't, you know, I mean, I liked some X-Men books, but I really appreciate that at this point I knew that Kitty wasn't going to go for it. Like that I've come to this place with it that I understand at least like Bendis and Aaron's take on the X-Men. And I was like, Kitty's not going to be interested in going to the mall at all. And like she's not going to want to go with them. And so I really liked that. And I thought Chris Anka did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great, but it did the work.
Mm-hmm.
I like that magic goes back in time and trains with Doctor Strange. Further evidence that Bendis cannot get over Doctor Strange. He loves him.
Doctor Strange is great.
No, I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying he loves him. He throws him in wherever he can, which is good. He's one of those great characters that you can do that with. But I'm glad I went back. If you were like me and you skipped it because of the giant INF attached to the front, then go back and get it.
Inhumanity? Is that what that is?
Yeah, Inhumanity.
I tried to read Inhumanity Awakening.
Yeah.
Which was, I guess, the next one.
Mistake?
I didn't make it. I don't know.
It's not a book I would hand to you with a title like that.
No.
No, but he loved the first part so much, so.
I didn't love it, but I dealt with it. And if it had all been that,
You loved it! What are you talking about?
I liked it. I liked parts of it.
You appreciated it.
I would have kept reading it if it was the same team, but switching around, you're going to lose me immediately. There's no consistency.
So go back and get that if you skipped it.
Nova number 11. This is the second issue from Jerry Duggan, Paco Medina continuing on art. Connor, you stepped away from this after the first. I would highly recommend coming back and checking out 12 or 10 and on. Because I think this is even stronger than the opening arc. It has a really great handle on writing teen characters. And half of this book is dedicated to the school stuff and the fact that this kid, Sam, is now the last Nova Corpsman, and he is away from school a lot. And people are noticing that, including the obnoxiously named Principal Philbin. But that's not Jerry Duggan's fault. But anyways, it's just really well balanced. It's like uncomplicated Ultimate Spider-Man. And I think the art is really great. And I think anybody who, you know, ducked out when you saw that there was going to be all these different creative changes after that first arc, I think it's and even if you haven't read any of it up to this point, go check out 10 and 11. It's really fun. It fills in that void that's been left by, you know, Peter Parker, who is either dead or an adult. So I think it's back to that, like, you know, Lee and Ditko sort of Spider-Man that is iconic Marvel, and they need something like that all the time. And it's cool that it's not Spider-Man this time. It's a different character. It's Nova.
I think that's part of the what they want to do for reasons not necessarily having to do with comics.
I really hope that this character catches on and that they do more stuff with him and he, you know, gets a movie and everything, because it's a really fun idea.
Isn't he the one that is in the cartoons?
Yes, Sam.
So he's already Sam, more popular than
Alexander, yeah.
Than Alexander was. Right. When I was in high school, senior year, I was told if I missed any more school, I would not be able to go to the prom.
In this, he gets in a fight with a bully, and Principal Philbin says, you either have to go to detention or you have to join the chess club.
That seems like
an insult to people at the chess club. Right.
So now, this is a book we haven't talked about in a long time. Long time.
I can't believe I didn't do that.
Chew 38.
Yeah, that's kind of why it's on here, is because I realize we haven't mentioned it in a while. It's one of those things where most of the issues are what they are. They're good. We know what to expect. We enjoy them. We move along.
This is the one about the guy who eats?
It's a lot of guys who eat. First of all, this one features... It's getting pretty wacky. Like, we're in the prison with Savoy, and we see that, like, it has the lower Supermax wing, and there are many... food powered people down there, really like big deal ones, you know, like the one guy farts nuclear bombs, basically. I mean, it's silly, but what do you want?
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
How does he do the fusion?
It's Black Bolt of the butt is what it is. Yeah, the butt. So I'm going to do the rest of it like this. Anyway, like Michael Lark. This was the first issue.
Where is Tim Meadows? Why is he not on a show or somewhere? Because he's brilliant.
He's probably on some show that you would never think of watching. That's what I find happens to people a lot.
Google him while you talk.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the one that it's like the end is coming. You get an idea that, oh, shit, it's going to end. And
when is it ending?
I think it's going to be like 60 or 50 or something like
that.
Yeah, it's a while, but they're definitely gearing up for some shit to go down.
Right.
And then you're going to get to him and be like, oh, it's the end.
Tim Meadows.
Wait, but how is this on 38 and Uncanny X-Men is on 39?
I don't think Uncanny X-Men is correct.
Okay.
It's very possible.
Into it. Continue speaking.
That's why I asked for clarification. Uncanny X-Men is actually number 15.
That makes more sense.
How'd that happen?
I don't know. Let's make that correction before.
But still, it's gaining on Chew, which has been around since the early 70s.
They have delays. They have stuff that happens. This one, the first thing in the letter column at the end of this was, sorry for the delay. It's a homegrown project, you know? They probably get 8 to 10
organic.
A year. Yeah. They don't have an infrastructure to support them. There's no fill-ins.
He's on Bob's Burgers, doing a voice there.
He's on Suburgatory.
Mr. Box Office.
See what I'm saying?
What are these things?
Exactly.
Oh, Tim Meadows. You make
anyone's
me
ghost?
Smile. Anyway, what are we at? Is this the end of the segment? I lost the script. Here we go. So those are the books we're going to talk about this week. Now, since this is the last Pick League show of the year, we thought we would go over the numbers.
Wait, speaking of numbers, it is awesome that you considered that Uncanny X-Men could have been on 39.
Well,
because we had no, like, well, they come with 8
a week. It comes out a lot. It comes out a lot.
they do. I have no idea. I was totally trusting. Willing to buy it.
So we thought we'd go over the Pick League kind of numbers. This is a feature I would do on the website every year where I would go through all of our official picks.
There was a website?
And there was. And break it down by different categories and see just exactly how biased or unbiased, depending on which email writer you are, we actually are. So, we're not going to go over all the numbers that I normally do because that would be boring, but I'm going to go through some of the more high-level numbers so you can get an interesting view on things. And actually, I was quite shocked by some of these. I had to do double and triple check them. Then I, for some reason, put my feet up on the desk and there's boot prints all over this piece of paper.
Yeah, when you showed us the PowerPoint presentation, that was I couldn't believe it.
All right,
I was
so there were,
that he hired those guys to act out the parts for us.
There was 50 picks this year. 50.
Whoa.
50 picks. Out of those, Josh did 17. I did 16. Paul did 15, and Ron did 2.
I knew I was pulling my weight more than either of you loafers.
This was the year, Josh, you had the most. So then by company, this is where it's really fascinating. What company would you guys guess had the most picks this year?
Image.
DC.
Okay, so number one company was Marvel with 21 picks.
All right.
Number two was DC with 17.
I knew there was more than we thought.
Number three, Image with 8. Number two, Dark Horse with 2. Panel Syndicate had 1. Valiant Entertainment had 1. Now, what's interesting is I couldn't believe those numbers.
Wait, what was the Panel Syndicate book?
Private Eye.
Oh, of course.
So I looked into this, and of Image's 8 picks, 5 have been since September. So they've dominated the fourth quarter, which is why they seem like we picked them so much. And DC's 11 of their 17 were in the first two quarters, so before Comic-Con was most of DC's picks. And I think that's sort of indicative of how it's gone the last year, mm-hmm. in that we've really turned a corner on them in the middle of the year. So let's break it down by person. Josh? Your number one company was Marvel. You picked them 9 times. Mm-hmm. 9 times.
Is that a good out of 17?
Out of 17.
Okay.
DC 4, Dark Horse 2, Valiant, and Image 1 each.
Of the DC, were any of them Vertigo?
Jesus, man. I'd have to look that up.
Okay.
I didn't go that deep.
I don't think they were, is my point.
I can look it up after the show. Connor, that's me. Yes. 9 of my 16 were DC. 3 were Marvel, 3 were Image, 1 was Panel Syndicate. Paul, who do you think you picked the most? What company?
Image, I still think.
Marvel with 7.
It was Marvel, okay, yeah.
DC with 4, Image with 4.
So we got to take back our Publisher of the Year thing?
And Ron picked 2 Marvel books on his way out the door.
Yeah, he did.
Shocker. Shocking surprise there.
That I Fanny is already in the mail. We
got
to get that.
Yeah, it's too late. Ron's already got it. So there was 3 books tied for the most picks this year. Any guesses on what those 3 books were?
Thor, God of Thunder.
God of Thunder.
And I'll give you a hint. The number of picks was 3 each.
Saga. And a third, which would be, what would it be? I can't think of what the third would be. Batman.
No, you got 2. Batman and Thor, God of Thunder each picked 3 times. Indestructible Hulk picked 3 times by Paul.
Did I pick it 3 times?
Yes.
Wow. Oh.
I thought it was
really
like 2.
Really like Indestructible Hulk, Paul.
Was it like subsequent, like
runner up?
Was it consecutive issues or?
I'm opening the spreadsheet as we talk. Runner up: Batman, Superman, number picked twice. Action Comics picked twice. Deadpool picked twice. Saga was only picked once.
Wait, Batman's? Oh, okay, Batman, Superman.
Batman, Superman.
I was thinking of Superman, Wonder Woman. I was like, really?
Right. That? No. So now, by writer, the 2 writers were picked the most. They tied for first. Picked 4 times each. Wade? Jason Aaron is 1.
Not Mark Waid?
No.
Paul's giving him away to Mark Waid.
Mark Waid got 3.
I know. So there was no Daredevils this year. That's what that means.
I don't believe so. Any guesses? Jason Aaron got 4. Somebody else picked 4 times.
Got 4 times?
Yeah.
Hickman?
No.
No.
Scott Snyder. Batman and The Wake.
Ah.
Okay.
Now, that's a quick. Greg Pak got 3. He was the runner up.
He came on late, though.
He came on late with 2 Batman Supermans and the Action Comics that Josh picked. So let's circle back for a second, Josh. And of your DC picks, 1 was Vertigo, the final issue of Hellblazer.
Okay. Yeah. That was this year.
Yeah. And then just for sake
that was,
of.
That was the last one, let's be honest.
So, okay. So, Paul, you picked. Hulk number 9, Hulk number 11. Oh, maybe I picked it.
You did? I don't think Paul
picked it. I think I did. Paul, you picked it twice. I picked it once. Sorry. I don't have the spreadsheet in front of me. I'm doing this.
It's a good book.
Nobody's surprised by artists. The number 2 pick, top 2 picks are Capullo and Esad Ribic, 3 each for Batman and for Thor, God of Thunder. Now, this year, we picked a lot of number 1s. A lot of number 1s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 number 1s. Star Wars, Young Avengers, Sex, The Private Eye, East of West, Edgar Allan Poe's The Fall of the House of Usher, The Wake, Astro City, Satellite Sam, Batman Black and White, All New X-Men Special, 3, Pretty Deadly, Superior Spider-Man Team Up, Amazing X-Men, and Black Science. All number 1 issues, all picked of the week. So those
were the pick of the week.
I feel like there were more new series and number 1s. You know, now.
Well, if you look at it, we got Black Science, Pretty Deadly 3, Satellite Sam, Sex, East of West. Those are all Image. I mean, this was the year that Image busted out all those new books.
Yeah.
And we were all excited for them. So
how many word balloons were in the books that we chose?
I don't have that math, but okay. I'll get the team on that and we'll see what we got.
Okay.
But so this year, by the picks, Batman and Thor: God of Thunder were the 2 top books.
I think that's fair.
Sounds about right.
We're going to get some flack from the DC fans on this one. But what can you do?
How so?
Because we picked it a lot. We've been critical of them lately. But
here's a psychological explanation for that.
Mm-hmm. Josh, you picked Indestructible Hulk.
We don't want to not like DC. And so, therefore, you're really looking for something that's good. You want to see something of what they once had, you know.
I look every 3 weeks. I look.
Oh, wait a minute! I blew something here.
God,
sorry. Mark Waid did get picked 4 times.
That's what I thought.
So there's a tie for 3. Snyder, Aaron, and Waid all had 4 picks. I left that off the sheet somehow. 1 issue of Daredevil, 3 issues of Hulk. Sorry, Mark.
Well, there you have it.
So those are the picks week by the numbers. So once again, the top companies, Marvel with 21, DC with 17, Image with 8. And then 2 for Dark Horse, 1 for Panel Syndicate, 1 for Valiant. Can you guess what the Valiant pick was?
I know what it was.
Paul?
It's Quantum and Woody, right?
Correct.
Number four.
Number,
I don't know the number.
Three or four?
Cheap.
I don't remember.
So those are the numbers. We'll start them over again next year, and I'll keep track, and we'll have fun with it. Should we get one email in, or we'll see how we get?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's read Matt's email.
Okay. Matt says, thought your comparison of Captain Sobel and Cyclops was dead on, and he's correct. What other comic characters would you cast as roles in Band of Brothers? Thanks for the podcast. Still love the show. Well, first of all, thanks for bringing this up again.
Any excuse.
Let me pull up the cast, and I'm gonna throw some names out. And we'll
who's the Major Winters? That's the real question.
I mean, so we're doing comic characters.
Major Winters is easy. He's Captain America.
Yeah, I was good. That one's actually simple.
And does that mean Nixon is Tony Stark because he's a drunk?
No, that doesn't feel right to me, because Nixon is working class. Although
he's also smart.
Yep.
Uses his brain. He's not really using his brawn.
No, but that characterization is not right.
Okay. All right.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's a little downtrodden, especially near the end, where Tony Stark is not like that.
She took the dog?
The dog? It wasn't even her dog.
It's my dog.
He got really drunk when they showed him it was the head of the Luftwaffe. Goering.
Goering.
He found him Goering's wine closet, and he was so happy.
Oh, Band of Brothers. So Captain America is Major Winters. We don't have a Nixon.
I'm going to work on Nixon in my own head for a second. You move along.
Paul, how conversant are you in Band of Brothers?
Not very.
Are you completely lost at this point?
It's been a while.
Who are we gonna say is a good Carwood Lipton?
Ooh.
Because he's a working class.
He's the reliable leader. He's not flashy.
He gets it done every time, though.
But he's not the high level leader. He's the mid, like he's like middle management Lipton.
He's like the Hobgoblin.
I'm thinking Falcon.
Falcon. Interesting. I can see Falcon.
Flash?
No, Flash is too flashy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would put Flash in the grunt. Like he's not Garnier. A little bit of malarkey. Because Malarkey's a little more reserved, but he would get a little wild,
okay,
especially as it went on.
Okay, so we're back to Lipton then.
This is the most boring part of the show for anyone who's never seen this Band of Brothers.
Here's what I'm thinking. Commander Steel. It's a little on the nose.
It's been a while since I've had a Commander Steel.
They're going to move away. It's a boring character.
Yeah.
You mentioned Wild Bill Garnier. So what do we think?
Wolverine?
No.
No?
No. Garnier is much more happy-go-lucky.
Okay.
Until he loses a leg. Also, his leg doesn't grow back. Ouch.
Why are we making jokes about this guy?
I'm going with, because he's here. He's a damn hero. I like Hawkeye. I think Hawkeye, you know what? Hawkeye as Nixon is not bad.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's where we are with that.
Garnier's a tough one because he's funny and loud. Paul fell asleep, which is fine.
What?
It's been a long day.
Yes.
Put your head down, Paul. Take a little nap. We'll wake you up when we're done.
All right. We got to move on through this.
Let's do one more character.
One more, I think, is Captain Ronald Spears.
Let's put everybody out of their misery. Captain Ronald Spears. A little scary, a little intimidating.
It's the Punisher.
Namor. Because he's not a psychopath. Namor or Black Panther?
No.
He's scary in the first one until no one knows him, and then they get to know him and they realize he's not scary.
But he is
he's a
scary.
Great leader.
He's a great leader, but he is scary, and he did gun down Nazis on the side of the road because he couldn't take them along.
Right.
That's a thing that happened. So
sure.
He's not afraid to be ruthless.
Doesn't make him a psychopath, though.
Okay, but he's completely ruthless.
Sure.
Thor?
I'd say Namor. I would. I'd say Namor.
I'm thinking Dupe for the Rick Gomez character.
Duke?
Luz?
Luz.
George Luz? How do I know that?
Captain Sobel!
What is the goddamn problem?
Tonight is the night.
Okay, Captain, who's the guy? Colonel Sink.
Colonel Sink is like
Thunderbolt Ross.
Thunderbolt Ross, yes.
Oh, that's kind of cheesy. It's easier to do this with Marvel characters, is what we're finding out.
There's a lot more military stuff in Marvel.
I guess.
So the last one we did was we did Spears. We divided on Spears. I say Namor, and you say Punisher.
Yeah. Well, that even seems Punisher's probably too much. I think it's something I haven't figured out yet.
Is it a Venom? No.
No.
No, he's not a leader.
Boy, a lot of British actors who are famous now were in this.
Yes. I was watching a couple episodes recently, and they're all over the place.
Tom Hardy, Jamie Bamber.
Fassbender.
Fassbender was the other one I was going to say.
Oh, the guy from, he just joined The Good Wife, Paul. He was the lead in Life on Mars. Jason O'Mara. He just, he was the guy that was blown up in the beginning. He was going to be their commander.
Stephen Graham. Cone.
Yeah. Tons of people.
Anyone listening to the podcast anymore?
The thing is, Josh and I are, and that's really at the end of the day all we really care about.
All right.
It's kind of what we shot for always. It's not always going to be the thing that you want. But let's just say percentage wise, how many people listening right now have any idea what's going on?
15.
That's really optimistic. I mean, they might have some idea what's going on, but we lost them at some point. All right, one more. Buck Compton.
Dun-Dun Duggan.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a little cheaty. But, okay, then I'm going to give you Bull Randleman.
Bull Randleman is the Martian Manhunter.
Oh, come on.
What?
Isn't there a Southern boy? Like, it's got to be somebody.
He's quiet, but he's also a leader, and he gets the job done.
No Black fan. Bolt.
No
you
fan.
Know what? If you left Martian Manhunter in a German occupied Dutch farm overnight, he would probably make it out.
Yes.
Okay.
I just saw Liebgott in a Hallmark Christmas movie.
He's gonna go back to San Francisco, drive a cab, and get him a wife with big old titties. I've seen this a lot, apparently, and
fuck,
really taking
it to
heart.
It. The thing is, I just got home from The Hobbit. I was gonna watch Lord of the Rings, but now. I don't know what to do. Oh, God. We can pass revoked. All right, we had more emails. We didn't even have a voice.
Shot Joe Toy in the ass.
And he got blown up in the ass, too.
Yeah.
Contact at iFanboy.com and 888-FANBOYS for 262697. We went long because somebody wrote in about Band of Brothers, and Josh and I amused ourselves. And for that, we apologize. But we also warned you that, A, I was punchy, and B, this is the last show of the year, so... We're going to indulge. Just skip this part. That's all. Let's plug a few things. Paul, you got a new gig that you should tell everybody about.
Yeah, I'm doing Sunday Conversations over at Comic Book Resources. So that's going to be every Sunday. And I'm talking to different comic book creators, writers, and artists about things that interest them. So it's not just the regular talking points about whatever their current projects are. We're actually having conversations.
That
so
sounds like an
hopefully it'll be pretty engaging.
Work.
Yeah.
Now, Paul, knowing you, I bet you pitched Sunday Conversation for Tuesday.
I was told Sunday.
Okay.
We have them on Tuesday.
So Newsarama? I'm sorry, CBR? One of those websites? Which one is
Whoa.
It?
Whoa. All right. It's a comic book resources.
Sorry.
You can go on Sunday, and it'd be a big help if you pass the link around and got some eyeballs on it. So the first one that should be up right now, if you're listening to this, is Greg Rucka. And we talk about the science behind Lazarus, the science that inspires him, the science that scares the hell out of him and keeps him
Did
up at night.
Did you have trouble getting him to talk?
No, we talked for quite a bit. He's very, very gracious with his time.
Very often you've got to pull things out of him. Get him to, Greg, I need more than one word here.
He's taciturn like Winters was at the beginning.
I've been up for 15 hours, and it doesn't sound like a lot, but I'm really tired.
And then he told them that he's not a Quaker.
Now, quickly, this is we've mentioned several times. This is the final pick week of the year, which means next week is the all media show, which we talk about TV and film and books and video games and music and all that fun stuff. So you'll be able to find that on the feed next week in place of this show, and then we'll be back with a new show the first week of January. We'll take the last week off completely so we can spend time with our families because we're not robots. And then we'll be back. So that's you'll find the All Media Show next week and the new pick of the week in January.
I have a thing to plug briefly.
Oh.
I was on the Star Wars Minute holiday special live where we went. I was in New York and we did a show for people, recorded a podcast live talking about the Star Wars holiday special, which is the most awful thing I've ever seen in my life. It will be released as a podcast at some point in the near future, so look out for that. But it was a ton of fun. But still, don't use their Amazon link.
Was it as bad as you heard?
I had tried to watch it at a point in the past, and I didn't make it very far. And it's worse than that.
I've only seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen the whole thing all the way through.
There's no reason to. I mean, it's not even so bad. It's good. It's why is this still on?
Is it weird? Is it boring? Is it?
Yes. It's those things.
Okay.
It's weird, but really boring also. And there's long stretches of no dialogue, but bad Wookiee yowling. And it's not like Chewbacca. It's Itchy and Lumpy and Mara, and Itchy is the most terrifying mask ever created. It's very bad. I'm not going to recommend it to you, stay away from it. It's bad stuff.
So just go into the podcast cold.
Yeah. I mean, you can look at it and get a feel for it. But
was your opinion shared by the other hosts?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no. I mean, one guy said it was better than Phantom Menace, but.
No, well, that's a low bar.
They said it was better than Attack of the Clones. I said it was slower than Phantom Menace. Which is pretty fucking slow. Watch out for that. Anyway, you can head over to ifanboy.com. You can comment on this show and the shows previous and find all the other podcasts and the fount of knowledge that still exists there. Maybe you're looking for where to start with something. I actually looked up when this week's pick of the week was the artist was Walta. And we did an upstarts on him, so I read up on him a little bit.
Look at you doing research for the show.
Yeah.
After 13, 12, 8 years, how are we doing this show?
Now, actually, I just typed his name into Google, and we came up first. I was like, well, there you go.
Hey, look at that. There's your show right there.
There you go. So you can go over there. You can follow us at twitter.com/ifanboy or facebook.com/ifanboy. We try to post what the pick of the week was before we do the show. So you can find that there if you want to read up before the show comes out.
Also, as I just mentioned mere moments ago, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or leave a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS 326-2697. Any questions, comments, concerns, discussion topics. If you want us to talk about Band of Brothers again, just send them that email and we will do it.
He doesn't even like the dog.
If this kind of thing gets your motor running, you should write a review about it in the iTunes. Better yet, tell people at your ugly Christmas sweater party about it. Slip them a USB drive.
Speaking of motors, Jimmy Fallon was on Band of Brothers as a Jeep driver.
Yeah, I was about to say that, and then I briefly thought maybe that was Saving Private Ryan, so I didn't.
No, it was Band of Brothers.
It's difficult to make jokes about the medic episode when he gets hooked on painkillers. Oh,
Jesus. Simon Pegg is in the first episode.
Yep.
As Sobel's little toady, his little Netley. Paul, did we lose you again?
Netley.
That's it for this week's show.
And this is it for the year. That's it for 2013. We lost Paul. We'll be hosting
co-host
next year as Paul refuses to answer our emails and phone calls. After this is over. Until then, I'm Connor.
I'm Paul.
I'm saying, remember Colin Hanks's character?
Yes.
The second lieutenant. Who would he be?
I'm String Bean. Rage.
Yeah. That's hard. Rage? Don't go with Rage because you pulled out Rage. That's enough for me. That's great.
That's it for the year. Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also like, one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ifanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ifanboy.